Thanks, Paul, for the intro. I actually feel like an air traffic controller with this. I'm glad I'm not, because I don't know much about it. But welcome to Unlocking the Bible. Paul spoke about DBA and all sorts of technical sounding stuff. Luckily, tonight we're actually doing none of that. We'll only start with that kind of in the weeks to come. But today, day one, we're going to really look at the question of why should we study the Word of God. You know, we can come up with all sorts of different ways to study the Bible. But really what we want to do is we want to get a conviction to study it in the first place. And that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to show these scriptures. So we're going to look at our first topic tonight. My first point is examination. Can you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5? You know, if I spoke to every one of you and I said, well, how do you do your quiet time? And how do you do your quiet time? And you know, explain to me your system. And you'll find that everybody has their way of doing a quiet time. I'm fortunate in as much as I work from home, stroke church office here in Cape Town. And so I have a fair amount of freedom, and my quiet times is a combination of reading books, writing articles, that kind of thing. So I like to put my stuff down on paper, and if anybody wants to read my book, I can give you. No, it's okay. All right, let's read 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says, let us examine. No, it doesn't. I lie. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? What does the Bible say? Who likes to be tested? Put your hands up. No, it's okay. You can put your hand up. It's fine. Who likes to be tested? You know, one of the conditions I was given when I got this mic was that, you know what, when you speak to the audience, you've got to repeat what they say. But lucky, if you don't say anything, then I don't have to repeat it. So that actually works quite well. So actually, no one likes to be tested. My wife's actually a great example of that. She really, really doesn't like to be tested. And even filling in forms for her is quite hard, you know. And that's the extent that one can actually go. But, I mean, look, what does the Bible say? It says, test yourself. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to come up with a little test. Which you can keep up here, keep the score up here, and say and work out for yourself, okay, in an average week, how many days out of seven do I have a quiet time? Write down mentally a number, 0 to 7. And then say, okay, in that quiet time, what is the quality of that quiet time? In other words, if I just read the Bible, it's a 1, and if I have an earth-shattering growth moment where I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been transformed like Jesus, that's a 10. Now multiply those two numbers together. Who's a 70? Come on, guys. Come on, Mike, you know, you've been around a while. Where are the 70s? 1 to 10? Yeah, ratings 1 to 10. Anyway. No, yeah, well, okay, we'll give Jesus the 70. But somewhere along the line, we all rate. And we probably find, because we're somewhere on a scale and maybe towards the bottom end of the scale, that we've all got room for improvement. We can all do something towards the way that we approach having a quiet time. You know, one of the things about Christianity is that it's like walking on a conveyor belt. Haven't you found that? If you stand still, you're going backwards. And as a disciple, if we're not continuously in the Word, if we're not continuously walking forward, the moment we stop, the conveyor takes us back. I don't know if you found that. And so if we really want to make any kind of progress forward, we've really got to be passionate and convicted about the type of quiet time that we do have. Bible says, examine yourself. So we've done that. Test yourselves. Okay, we've come up with a result. Do you realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? And we don't want to fail that test. We want Jesus to be within us. Otherwise, why are we sitting in this hall if we didn't want Jesus to be within us? So, why should we study the Bible? Point number two. Only more is more. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 17, verse 7. You know, we live in a world where gratification's got to be instant. And it's getting worse. You know, I remember buying my first cell phone, I don't know how many years ago, 16, 18. And, you know, the term brick comes to mind. And it was wonderful. You could actually have a conversation and you weren't attached to any wires and you could have that conversation anywhere and it was fantastic. The bonus was you could SMS as well. It was amazing. It was awesome. What have I got now? In a short space of 18 years, I now have the internet in my pocket. I can play songs. I can record audio. I can speak to my daughter in England via data. I can, you know, the list is endless. It's endless because there's a million apps out there, and I can load everyone on my phone, and I can do a million things with it. Problem with all of that is that we're starting to expect more and more for less and less. Have you noticed that? It's just the nature of the times. But then what we do is we have the same approach to the Bible. I read 5 minutes and I expect amazing, life-changing growth. But of course the Bible hasn't changed. It's still the same. And we still got to put the same amount of time into the Bible if we expect the same amount out of the Bible. So we got to understand, you know what, the fact that technology keeps moving forward doesn't mean our hearts towards the scriptures necessarily need to change. God promises huge returns only when we put in huge effort. Let's read Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So my question here is, do you trust God? Let's get a show of hands. Do you trust God? Okay, most of you trust God. I don't know, there's a couple of singles there. I don't know, it's a bit shaky, that hand. Eh? Of course we all trust God and his word. Let's look at some of God's credentials. You know, we can look at some of men's credentials. We can look at the Bill Gates, and we can look at president of this country or the Einsteins, and we've got some kind of earthly credentials that are pretty awesome. But who can name some of God's credentials? Creator of the universe, there's one. Who can name another one? Sustainer of all life. Sustainer of all life. A rock. Some more credentials. Louder, I can't hear any of you. Omnipresent. What else? Lord God Almighty. What else? Prince of Peace. Compassion. I just hear wonderful things. This is an amazing God that we serve. What's some other credentials? Savior. Merciful. Loving Father. Great Provider. I mean, it's amazing. Great Physician. I mean, We can keep, probably just have this evening spent just on how great God is. Compared to anybody else, there is just no comparison. Yeah. He is just unbelievably amazing. Now, here's the God who's so awesome. How else can we respond? You know, he says here, we will be like a tree planted by the water. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now we've established, man, we trust this amazing God. He will be like a tree planted by the water. Well, who plants? Who's the tree? Well, we're the tree. God plants us by the water. Notice he doesn't say in the water. He says by the water. So what's the problem that this tree has? Eh? Roots are a bit far from the water. So what does the tree need to do? He needs to put some effort into it. He needs to grow some roots. Do roots suddenly shoot out like a big fat pipe? You know, I know if I asked Eric, make a plan, you know, he'd put a big fat pipe in and we'd have water pumping to that tree in no time. But that's not how it works. Small roots start going, and then the roots grow, and over time the tree grows, and it gets its nourishment and water, and we know it's a process. That's what the Bible says. It sends out its roots by the stream. But what's awesome? What's the next thing? And this is what we all love. It does not fear when heat comes. Why? Because it's tapped into the stream. And sometimes we forget the analogy actually refers to us. We're the tree. If we tapped into this water of life, we don't have to fear when the heat comes. Problem with us is the heat comes and we're all fear because we forget what we should be tapping into. And that's where the Word of God comes into it. So what is our response? Man, we just got to tap into that stream. Then and only then are we sorted out when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's what staying close to God's word can do for us. Yep. You know, we've examined ourselves and now we're looking at the attitude we need to have. More is more. You want to have a good relationship with God? Well, we've got to keep tapping into that stream. Yeah. You know, we sometimes think we can get by on just 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. You can, but then your tree's going to stay this size because that's the only water that you're feeding it. You know, like the little cacti that we got earlier, that's how big you're going to stay if we use this as an analogy. So, amen. Let's do another quick test. Again, this is for yourself. Let's paint some scenarios just to kind of find out where we're at. You know, you can ask some questions, and sometimes your heart stirs in a certain way, and it gives you an idea where you're at. Here's scenario one. Someone, doesn't matter who, friend, spouse, anybody, challenges you on an aspect of your character. Okay? How do you react? Do you welcome the advice, or does it make you angry? I see some smiles out there. I don't know if those are the... Ah, of course I'd welcome the advice. But if you feel in your heart, you know what? That would make me angry. That gives you an idea where you're at when it comes to your relationship. Let me ask you another question. You've been a disciple for a number of years, maybe even a few decades. But yet, at this stage in time, you still struggle to have a good quiet time. You miss services. You miss midweeks. You don't want discipling. You don't want help with your walk with God. You take no notes. You have no meaningful spiritual conversations. You're not studying the Bible with anyone. And worst of all, it doesn't bother you. Or you can justify it, or it's someone else's fault. How does that make you feel? If any of you get angry, you can just speak to Paul after the service. Amen. Point number three, my attitude towards Bible study. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 2, verse 1. This is probably one of my top 10 verses in the Bible that whenever I get a chance, I'll have to share this with anybody who's willing to listen. You know, just as an aside, a lot of these things are very visual, and as parents, I always like to take note of what scriptures affect me visually, because I know then I can use those in my devos with my kids. You know, we spoke about a tree and the roots growing towards water for nourishment, and then the tree grows. What a lovely long-term kind of little project to show how God's word actually works. You know, we can look at those roots growing every day and we can connect that to God's word. Lovely, you know, kind of conversation piece for our children. And this one, I always like to think, it's like a ladder, a knowledge ladder. And maybe for the older kids, this is a wonderful way to show them how to have a closer relationship with God. But anyway, let's read. Proverbs 2 verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I really believe the Bible here is teaching us the basic elements in our walk with God. Follow the pointers. Look at the ladder. First rung, accept. You know, this is when we hear the Bible for the first time. And we make the decision in our hearts, oh my goodness, this is the Word of God. This is amazing. There's some stuff in here that just floats my boat. It just makes sense. I look around me, I see people reacting to it. It's wonderful. I love this. This is awesome. We accept it. Problem if we stay at this level and we keep on accepting and do nothing else, that doesn't really help us. It's like coming to a sermon on a Sunday and accepting what he said as wonderful and doing nothing with it. Coming to a midweek and accepting. Reading our Bible and accepting. And all we're doing is accepting. We stay on that first rung. We don't grow any as a disciple if we only sit and accept. We've got to take it to the next level. What is that? Store up. The Bible says, and store up my commands within you. You know, the stage now is a deepening commitment, because storing up implies that we have something to show. We're storing it up. We're writing it down. We're making notes. We've got memory verses. We're starting to remember some of the verses because we're going to use them regularly. We're storing up. You know, if I accept money or if I store up money, my bank account, when I store up, is going to start growing. Then I know I'm storing something up. It's the next step of the ladder. Let's take another one. Turning your ear. Turning your ear to wisdom, the Bible says. So why is that the next level? Because now we're starting to listen to other people. We're listening to advice. We're turning our ear. We are now starting to make it practical. We're taking it outside of ourselves into the world around us. I believe this verse also says the disciple is starting to understand and implement the wisdom in the scriptures. Next step, apply your heart to understanding. Now we're taking it deep. Now we're actually taking it from the head and we're moving it to the heart. You know, once you move it to the heart, you're starting to get a conviction about what you're reading about. You know, once we get the heart moving, what happens? We get emotional. We want to change stuff. We love stuff. We're passionate about things. Because the heart is getting involved. It's not just the head knowledge. We're not just remembering a scripture. We're saying, my goodness, my heart is moving here. I really feel I need to change something. We're on the next step. Now we get really serious. Because now we call out for insight. Now our prayer times are starting to take off. We're just starting to say, God, help me to change. I see all these things. I'm getting emotional about the change. It's affecting my heart. Help me. We're now asking God. We're going to God and saying, only through you. Cry aloud for understanding. Why must we do this? Because God will give insight to whom he wants. That to me is a scary statement. Because if we keep going, and we'll see why that becomes a true statement. You see, it carries on and says, if we look for it as for silver. Now, who's picked up a bar of silver lately? Who's bought a bar of silver lately? Who owns a bar of silver? Okay, it's not that common. Why? Because we've got to mine this stuff. We've got to get into the rock. It's not a simple process. You know, it's if I made a decision today, I want some silver or I want some gold. First of all, I need to have some seriously big pockets in the region of probably a couple of billion rand, because that's what it costs to sink a shaft and get gold out of the ground. It costs a lot of money and involves a lot of people. So why would God put this in here? And look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Because you're not just going to pick up the Bible and have gold falling out of it. It doesn't work that way. He expects us to dig into it. He expects us to involve other people, because only with others and with the scriptures are we actually going to make any progress. Gotta love the scriptures. Look for it and search for it. Just wanted to read something. What is this treasure that we find? Well, I believe it's when we've overcome a weakness in our lives and we look back and we say, you know what, because of the scriptures, I've overcome something. I struggled with impatience in traffic. I studied it out, asked advice, asked others to point it out. I begged for understanding. I asked God to put me in situations where I could learn to apply it, what I had a growing conviction of. I asked God to make me aware of my sin before the time so I could fight it. And at the end, with persistence, I can look back and say, I have overcome this character weakness. You know, oftentimes we go to God and say, God, please make me patient. And we expect it to fall out of the sky like manna. It doesn't work that way. God said, no problem. I'm going to keep putting you in severely impatient situations until you have beaten this one. And he's an awesome God. He knows exactly what he's doing. Okay, now we've looked for it and we've searched for it. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Now, we've put a lot of effort into this. Have you noticed? There's been a lot of people involved and a lot of sweat on outside. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see, God will bless us when we make the effort. Yes, we can just read the Bible every day. But if you want to grow as a disciple, we need to have the right attitude towards the scriptures. The Bible is very clear on how we need to approach it from this point. You know, I looked at fear of the Lord. Revelations 15:4 says, who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. Acts 9:31 says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Fear of God is something we need to understand. And if we don't understand this healthy fear of God, we're actually not going to come to a knowledge of him. It's a step-by-step process. It's another step on the rung of getting closer to God. And at the end, we'll find God's knowledge. It's unbelievable for me to think that a God with credentials so long we could probably discuss them just this evening alone will allow me, a sinner, to tap into his knowledge in a way that I'll actually even understand it. That's mind-blowing. Yeah. You know, I always think that, you know, God had to dumb down the Bible so we mere mortals could understand it. Yeah. You know, he had to make it, it's almost like, you know, saying to an ant, let me teach you to read. It's like, oh my goodness, it's not going to work, is it? Whew. Now, how can I make it simple enough for that ant to understand what reading is all about? You know, I'm like, God had to make it simple enough for us to understand, but he allows us to understand it if we put the amount of effort into it that he's shown us. So how often should we study the Bible? Who thinks every day? Phew, okay, we've got a reaction there. Everyone thinks every day. I agree, actually. We should study it every day. Turn to Proverbs 8, verse 32. Proverbs 8:32 says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. You know, the first verse says, "Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways." You know, sometimes you've got to read what the Bible is not saying. Okay? So what is it not saying here? If I say to you, "I'll bless you if you keep my ways," what am I not saying? I won't bless you if you don't keep my ways. Exactly. We've got to read into what it's not saying. Why? Because sometimes we all love blessings. But we need to understand it's connected to keeping God's ways. The opposite being, well, you know what? If we decide to walk our own paths and our own opinions, we're not going to get blessings. Problem is, we sometimes wonder why we're not being blessed, but yet Bible makes it fairly clear. Listen to the next one. Listen to my instruction and be wise. What's he not saying? Tell us, Greg. Don't listen and be not wise. We've got to look at what it's saying and what it's not saying to deeply understand why it isn't so important that we understand why we need to approach the Bible with a passion that we need to approach it. Verse 34 says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway." What time frame is watching daily at my doors and waiting at my doorway? What time frame would you put to that? There's no real kind of beginning point and end point. You know, if someone says, "Please watch daily at my door," okay, is that 8 to 9, 8 to 1, 8 to 5, I'd like to make it a work day, you know, I've got to get home to my family. Watching daily, there's no end point. It means watching all the time. And that's the approach I think we need to have with a quiet time. Yes, we get into the scriptures in the morning, in the evening, during the day, whenever we find we have an opportunity. But you know, the learning process actually never stops. Because once we've had our quiet time, then we observe, we check, we examine ourselves. How am I reacting to the world? How does the world react to me? How do I help the situation? Who can I call? Actually, you know what? We're actually in it 24/7. So I say, yes, we need to have a quiet time every day, but that quiet time, actually, our worship of God never really stops. Because we make the mistake sometimes that, you know, we come to church and we're one person, but we go home and we're somebody completely different. But your home time is actually the majority of your time, so that's who you really are. So if you're not worshiping God at home, then the bit that you're worshiping at church doesn't really count, does it? Because that's not who you really are. You are who you are most of the time. And we need to understand God is serious about how we follow Him. Finding God's ways is finding life. The Bible says, and those who are actively seeking Him will receive favor. And here He gives us the opposite. He says, "Whoever fails to find me harms himself, and all who hate me love death." We always stand at a crossroads. God's way, my way. Blessings, no blessings. Wise, unwise. There's never a gray area. Have you noticed that? If you do a little bit, you get a little bit. With God, it's always left or right. And we need to choose that. You know, we want to talk about in the weeks to come about various ways in which we want to look at the Bible. Do we look at a topical? Do we look at a character? Do we look at a theme? What do we do and how do we do it? And what tools can we use? And what online resources are there? And what books can we buy? And there's many books just on understanding the Bible and analyzing the Bible. We can have a whole library of these things. But all of them mean nothing if we don't have the right attitude to learning the scriptures. Because it's not about the knowledge. I have more respect for the man or woman who takes one verse and says, "I'm going to live this verse today," than the one who says, "Well, I read the whole of Genesis, and it's meaningless." because you've taken nothing out of it. And we've got to approach the scriptures from that way. Turn your Bibles to Joshua 1 verse 6. Let's listen to some advice that God gave one of the greatest leaders of all time. You know, we may not all become great leaders, but the advice is eternal. Joshua 1 verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." You see, this advice is eternal. He says, meditate on it day and night. There is no end point to our quiet time. Once we decide to become a disciple, we're a disciple 24/7, and we're living it all the time. There is no switch off for a disciple. There's just a yearning to get to know God more and to glorify Him, because we've left the old lives behind and we've taken on a new life in Christ. And that needs to be the attitude we need to have. So, in summary, you know, sometimes we complain about the content of a sermon. You know, we say, oh, you know, I wanted to hear about happiness today, or I wanted to hear something on God's glory today, and oh, you know, all that Paul preached was hell and damnation. You know, oh, you know, I had enough of this stuff. But you know what? The 1 hour that Paul preaches, what's the percentage of the rest of the week for you? It is a little portion, that much. You've got every single hour of every other day to research and to study out exactly what you want to. And what we do is when we come to the sermon on Sunday, we're there to worship together. We're there to learn God's word. But our quiet time is what sustains us, not the Sunday sermon. Sorry, Paul. You know, awesome sermon, but that's not what keeps us going the rest of the week. What keeps us going is what we're doing in the scriptures. It's the talks we're having outside of the church, the discipling times, the small groups. That's what sustains us. You know, often we use the Acts 2:42 analogy. You know, they met daily, they met in the temple courts. And, you know, when I read that the first time, I'm like, hallelujah, that's a lot of meeting in the temple courts. You know, I don't know how we're going to do that in our day and age. I mean, that's a lot of traveling. You know, it's so strange coming to Cape Town. Someone said, oh, wow, we live 20 minutes away. It's like, oh, that's way too far to travel. I'm like, are you serious? You must come to Joburg and then we'll show you what traveling's all about. But to challenge Cape Townians, I'm not showing off here, but to challenge Cape Townians, my daughter stays in Brackley in England. She travels over an hour to get to midweek at night on a Friday to Reading. And what happens is that, well, she's also got a small child, but what happens is that because it's quite strenuous traveling so far, they actually stay the whole weekend. So they have their midweek on Friday. Then on Saturday, they stay there, and they actually lead the teens there. So they have teen events and teen studies and that kind of thing. And then on Sunday, obviously, it's service on Sunday. I think it's in the afternoon. It's at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. Then they have studies afterwards. So they get home again Sunday night after another hour something traveling to get to where they stay. And then I heard someone say, oh, but it's so long, I travel like, oh my, amen, brother. A body of Christians is not just a passive bucket into which we throw spiritual tidbits. We've got to grow up individually. We've got to get out there, and we need to share God's word. A body of Christians is a living, multiplying machine ready to take what they have heard and reproduce it and share it within their immediate community. To do that, we need to have awesome and great quiet times. We need to have something to share. When the depth of our quiet times is too shallow, we have nothing to share. And then we cannot speak to people out there. But if we look at that ladder and we keep growing and we keep changing, God has outlined the steps of growth for us. It's awesome. We need to just find out where we're at, examine ourselves, realize that more is more. The more I put in, the more I get out. We need to realize that I need to search for it. This is not a casual thing that we've undertaken. We've changed our lives permanently for God. Yeah. And we need to show Him by the way we actually study His scriptures. So as much as this is a class on unlocking the Bible, no class that uses God's word as its core is just a class for students. It's always a class where disciples of Jesus are finding new material to convict themselves and also to share with others. And we've got to approach it that way. Amen. Thank you very much. Let's close off with a prayer.